Hey, babe, I really wanted to take you someplace fancy since you just graduated college.
Yeah, this place is super nice. I'm kind of scared we won't be able to afford anything here.
Oh, don't you worry about it. I got it all taken care of.
Okay, well, I'm super excited. Oh, here our waiter comes.
Okay, here you go.
Hi, can I have a...
No, don't worry. I'll order for us, okay?
Oh, okay.
Hey, you give us a nice pasta and some nice garlic bread to start off with. You know, we're hungry. Oh, thank you. That's a spicy meatball.
Okay, I'll have what he's having. Thank you.
Hey, it's okay. Just let me handle all this, okay?
Why did you talk to him like that?
Well, I mean, he's Italian. I don't speak Italian, so I thought like maybe I'd just get down on his level, and
On his level.
there's a whole restaurant full of Italian people. What do you want me to say?
I mean, I would expect you to speak
Oh
normally
wait,
and
wait, wait! He's coming back. Hey, and for a dessert, give me a nice gelato and a dolce de vita and a coffee and some famous tipos, eh? See, look, he likes it.
You're talking with your hands way more than you actually usually do.
Well, I know that Italians talk with their hands a lot, so, like I said, I don't speak Italian. I'm just trying to get on their level.
Well, I think what you're doing is kind of offensive.
Look, haven't you ever seen Licorice Pizza?
Licorice, that sounds disgusting.
Yeah, well, it's just a movie, and this guy, he has a Japanese wife, but he doesn't speak Japanese, so he uses a stereotypically accent that I'm not going to do here.
Yeah, and you thought it would be okay to do that at an Italian restaurant?
Yeah, I figured they'd know the movie. Licorice Pizza, you don't know that?
No, I don't know this movie.
You haven't seen it?
You haven't seen it.
No way.
You're out of order!
Ah, you're killing me, Smalls.
Fasten your seatbelts.
You're tearing me apart!
Houston, we have a problem.
What we've got here is failure.
Inconceivable.
God damn you all to hell!
Hello and welcome to
You Haven't Seen It?
The podcast where I force my wife to watch terrible movies she never cared to see. I'm your host, Joey.
And I'm Erin, the charismatic former child actor who's not in love with someone that could be charged with statutory rape charges.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're not a minor who's in love with an older person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm an adult in love with another adult.
Wow.
And when I was a child, I also was in love with other children that were around my age.
You were a child in love with other children?
I mean, yeah, around my same age. So like when I was 14, I was dating 14-year-olds. And not 30-year-olds.
Oh, and just for the record, how old were you when we started dating?
21.
Yes, exactly. You were 21.
Yes. You are 9 years older than me, but.
Just for the record, you were a full-grown adult before we'd even met.
Yes, I was.
Okay.
Anyway.
That was a weird intro, but today we're going to be covering Licorice Pizza. Which is,
I love licorice and I love pizza. I'm wondering where they got this title from.
I don't know. I didn't do any research on this movie. I should have, but I forgot to. It is written and directed by Paul Thomas Anderson, who is a very well-known director. He's made a lot of critically acclaimed movies, starring Alana Haim, Cooper Hoffman, Sean Penn, Tom Waits, Bradley Cooper. Among a few other famous actors or semi well-known actors. It didn't do very well at the box office, but it depicts an inappropriate relationship that is happening in the San Fernando Valley in the early 70s. So, Erin, did you know anything about this movie before we watched it?
No, I never heard of it, never. Like, there are some times when you bring up movies and I'm like, oh, I've heard of the name, or like I'll see a scene. I'm like, oh, like I've seen this scene talked about, or people will talk about scenes from movies that we've talked about on this podcast. But this movie I have never heard of, never thought about, didn't know existed in any sense. When you brought it up, you were like, we're going to watch Licorice Pizza next. I was like, that is way out there. It must be some crazy movie. And it's all crazy.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons maybe this movie didn't do that well is because it has such a stupid name. It doesn't come up in the movie. It just sounds like nonsense.
Yeah.
But anyway, I didn't know anything about this movie. I just knew it was a Paul Thomas Anderson movie, and I'm a fan of his other movies. Like, do you know Boogie Nights?
I don't.
Mark Wahlberg plays that porn star in the 70s. You don't know that movie?
I don't know that movie.
Okay, what else? I Drink Your Milkshake. That's the name of the movie.
I definitely don't know any of these.
Man, what's the name of that movie? It's about the guy who, the oil baron in the 1920s, I think. And he goes, I drink your milkshake. There Will Be Blood. That's what it's called.
You showed me a scene from that.
Yeah.
But I've never seen that movie.
I wanted you to see the I drink your milkshake part. Paul Thomas Anderson is a, I don't even know if he's, how many awards he has. I just like a lot of his movies. Let me look at.
Where was he
maybe
born?
Maybe his filmography. He's from Southern California. That's why a lot of his movies take place there. Magnolia, Punch Drunk Love, There Will Be
Blood. I've heard of Punch Drunk Love, but I've never seen it.
That's the Adam Sandler movie. I don't know. But anyway, a lot of this movie got a lot of attention, even though nobody really saw it. I mean, obviously, it's a movie that depicts a inappropriate relationship with an adult woman and a teenage boy. But Paul Thomas Anderson movies, the through line in all of his movies are he's exploring shitty relationships and shitty people. It's like There Will Be Blood. The oil baron guy is a piece of garbage.
Yeah.
You know, but I like that. It's different. I don't always want to watch a movie where I'm on board with the main characters. I want to maybe hate them a little bit. And like when the movie's over, be like, what a piece of garbage.
Mm.
And you definitely feel that. In this movie. So let me just get, like, given the subject matter, I'd like to get your initial thoughts on how the movie just made you feel generally.
Well, so I like movies that are set in the 70s. I find that I'm gravitated towards movies and plays and things that take place in the 70s. I don't know what it is about it. Maybe the free nature of it. Maybe that's why I'm gravitated towards it. But I find that I like reading plays and doing things that are set in the 70s. I'm just drawn to it. So the fact that it's set in the 70s is fun, and I like that. I think it's shot in an interesting way. It's not like outstandishly beautiful. It's not, what was that? Moonshine? No, it's not Moonshine.
Moonlight.
Moonlight. That movie is beautiful. It's a beautiful, beautifully shot movie. Uh-huh. And this movie is not beautifully shot like that, but it's interesting.
Yeah.
And fun.
You know that's funny that you mentioned that, because these movies are kind of antithesis of each other a little bit in a way when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know how to elaborate on that, but it kind of is. Because it's about a kid, but it's about like a black kid growing up in a low income area versus this is like a white kid growing up in Southern California who kind of just does whatever he feels like doing and nobody messes with him. It's like they're opposites in a way.
Yeah. Something else that was that kind of like struck me about this movie is that there's a lot of things that are happening in the movie, and like the the kid, he's constantly changing what he's doing. Like, uh-huh. So he's a child actor, but he like has like several businesses and he's doing all of these random things. And he like draws the adult female in with them. But like he does so many different things. It's like, what is happening at some points?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of weird that it just takes place over 1 year. It seems like, because he's doing so many things in that one time. And so is the main character. Mm-hmm. The, what is her name in the movie? I can't remember. The actor is Alana. But anyway, it seems to take place over 1 year.
I think that's what her name in the movie is also.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I mean, it takes place over about a year. And a lot of things happen in this year. Because you see him, like, he's a child actor, but then his career ends at the very beginning of the movie. Yeah, but the movie is, it explores a lot of shitty relationships, in my opinion. Mm-hmm.
And shitty people.
Yeah, and if you, another one of Paul Thomas Anderson's movie, Magnolia, it's, I kind of want to watch it with you, but I kind of don't, because it's like 3 hours long. It's a real slog, but it's about, like, 10 different people who are kind of adjacent to each other, but not really connected to each other, and how their mm-hmm. lives sort of intersect at certain moments. But all the people in the movie like kind of suck and you don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
Except for maybe like one character. The one or two characters are actually likable.
I have no idea. That's kind of what I feel like this movie is like. It's just like, where were you going with that? And she's like, whatever, I'll move on to the next thing.
Yeah, this is not your typical like beginning, middle, end type movie. It's sort of, what's the word that I'm looking for? Where it just kind of, it goes, it's sort of, nobody's really different at the end of it. It's, you just meet a bunch of kooky characters along the way.
I have no idea. I'm speechless. I have no idea how to describe this movie. Because, like, the plot is, like, the only through line is their relationship of them getting together.
Right. Yeah, it's the whole movie is just about the relationship. There's not really a plot. Their relationship, them getting together, and then separating from each other and getting back together and separating from each other. That is the movie.
Yeah.
And then finally at the end of the movie, they're together, spoiler, but they are, and you don't really like it because at this point in the movie, you're just like, these people are trashy.
Yeah.
I don't like them. and it also has like certain, it incorporates, it's kind of Forrest Gumpy in that way that like, events are happening. Events of the 70s are just happening around them.
Mm-hmm.
Like the oil embargo. But it's not, it's different from Forrest Gump because they aren't directly involved with it.
Yeah.
So what did you think of it as just like an exploration of relationships?
It made me think about some of the relationships that friends of mine or people I went to high school and middle school with were in, because there were a lot of people that did have inappropriate relationships.
Yeah.
And so maybe think of a lot of them and how it was icky.
Right. But that's a good...
So it made me feel like, you know, my feelings whenever I was younger were justified.
Yeah, it's true. You know, people will probably get mad and saying like, oh, you shouldn't be depicting a relationship like this in movie. And my argument would be like, there are real relationships like this.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them. And even famous people like, who was that famous singer? Jerry Lee Lewis, who married his like 13-year-old cousin.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Like this shit happens.
Yeah. And... not even just like that. Like there are plenty of celebrities that are doing very inappropriate things with children.
Yeah.
And so it's shining a light on that. I think it's an important thing to like look at.
But it was also
an interesting way to do it.
Yeah. I'm also glad it wasn't about like a famous person having an inappropriate mm-hmm. relationship. I like that it was about normal people.
If you could say he was normal.
Well, these are like, they're yeah, normal. They're normal. They're not normal for a movie, but like, I think that's what I like a lot about Paul Thomas Anderson is like the characters in his movies seem more like real people
yeah.
than other movies. I really want you to watch There Will Be Blood. Like, I think that's one of my favorite Paul Thomas Anderson movies. But then the main character in that movie is just an awful person. I think almost everybody in that movie is pretty awful. And is there any other thoughts that you want to talk about?
I definitely think she's a shittier person than him.
Why do you say that?
Because she's the adult and she should have better
judgment
and... Like, she keeps, like, talking to people and being like, I can't believe I'm hanging out with these 15-year-olds. And it's like, yeah, stop. Like, you realize it, so stop doing it.
Yeah, she's getting high with that other girl, and she's like...
sister, I think.
Oh, whoever it was. And she's like, do you think it's weird? And they're like, I don't know, do you think it's weird? And she's like, yeah, I think it's weird.
Yeah, so stop doing it if you think it's weird.
Yeah.
Which, because it is. It makes me think, like... Because, like, the kid's my student's age, and she's a little bit younger than I am, and that's gross.
Yeah, it totally is. Man, teenagers are... I can't imagine any adult wanting to be around a teenager.
Yeah, it's, not unless they have to.
I mean, like, yeah, obviously you're a teacher, right?
So yeah.
It's part of your job. Somebody's got to educate kids. But, I mean, like, you...
choosing to be around and hanging out with.
Yeah, you have like done things with your kids and you'd ask me like, do you want to go? Do you want to, because Joliet, our daughter, will go with you. And like, you can go too. And I was like, the last thing I want to do is be surrounded by a bunch of teenagers.
Yeah.
They are annoying as hell.
Yeah. Sorry if there's any teenagers on this, but y'all are annoying as hell.
Yeah, you guys are annoying as hell and you need to know it. I heard one time the only... I don't have any citation to prove this, or I can't link this off to any actual research, but I heard that when you're a teenager, it's the only time in your life where you believe that you're older and more mature than you actually are.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Which you can kind of see it in this movie. That's what, what's it? It's Gary, right? Gary acts like he's older and more mature, but he's not.
Yeah.
And the people around him kind of lean into it a little bit, like, oh, he's so smart and he's so talented, but he's not. He's just a fucking
kid.
Yeah, and an asshole.
Yeah.
All right. So you just want
to. And they keep being like, oh, he's so charismatic. And it's like, no, it's kind of fucking creepy. Like, if a kid did that to me at school, I'd be like, calm the fuck down. Get back. Step back. Gross. Blech.
Yeah. So this movie just comes right out of the gate. Do you want to get into the movie?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So this movie starts right out of the gate, and it's picture day at school. Gary is getting ready in the bathroom, and Alana is with the picture company. She's like a photographer's assistant. Mm-hmm. And he saddles up next to her in the hallway as he's walking to get his picture taken, and he immediately starts hitting on her.
Mm-hmm. The whole time. And she keeps like being like, stop, stop, stop.
She's really mean to him. Actually.
Yeah. She's very mean to him.
Yeah. And, which she kind of should be.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I first saw this movie, I was like, yeah, of course. Like if a teenager tried to come on to me as a 25-year-old, I'd be like, no, you need to stop.
Yeah.
This is inappropriate. And like, just shut it down immediately, which she thinks that she's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But they also kind of show what kind, this is the early 70s. So also very subtly show a way that, you know, what the world is like for women.
Yeah. Just constantly catcalled.
Yeah. But also, like, you don't have any agency. Mm-hmm. You can't get a good job because there's only, like, three jobs that women can have.
Mm-hmm.
You're objectified and you are judged solely on what man you're attached to.
Yeah.
Right? And then, like, he leaves. He gets shooed out of the gym after he takes his picture. And do you remember what happened?
He asked her to go to dinner with him. And she's like, I'm not going to go to dinner with you.
No, but after he leaves.
No.
The photographer that she was standing next to just
turns around. Slaps her on the ass. Yeah.
And she's there's nothing she can do about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just like the subtle way of like, yeah, she was like very mean and demeaning to him. But then she just she's not a strong-willed person because she just let another adult man slap her on the ass.
Yeah.
So
the only reason she was able to stand up to him was because he was a kid.
Yes, exactly. So this is like one of the reasons I like Paul Thomas Anderson movies so much is like the subtleties of it. You got to pay attention and you got to see these little things and like a slap on the butt or the way people speak to each other. Everything matters in this movie, mm-hmm. like everything. So he says that he goes to some restaurant every Friday and he's like, I'll be there if you want to join me. And she actually shows up.
Yeah, she says she's not going to go. And she constantly says that. He asks her several times, but she says no. And then she ends up going. And they have dinner together. And she's like, stop. I don't want to talk about it. Which is like, why? I want to understand why she went over. But I kind of get that, like, she could manipulate him, but it seems like he's manipulating her in the situation. She's just following the male.
Right. But after they have dinner, they're walking home and she gets home and you start to see a little bit of what her home life is.
Yeah. Her dad is yelling at her like, why were you out? He's super strict. They're Jewish.
And I think specifically like Israeli immigrant, like mm-hmm. he seems like he's an Israeli man who immigrated here.
Yeah.
So he's not, his culture is
Orthodox
American.
Jewish.
Oh, I don't know.
Too. They seem very strict Jewish.
Yeah. Yeah. They're very much into the Jewish religion, but he seems like he was born in Israel
mm-hmm.
and they immigrated there. So he's not culturally American. But you see what kind of her home life is, like her combativeness with her sisters and all that. So maybe you see like, oh, maybe her life sucks. So she sees this one guy who's at least being nice to her.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why.
Well, they go
PR.
To. Yeah. So they, she finds out that his mom has a business where she's his manager, and she also like I guess manages other people, and she like has like a there's like they're managing a restaurant or something.
Well, no, it's a PR business, so that's why the guy who owns the Japanese restaurant with the Japanese wife shows up, and they're like, oh, we wrote this whole thing, you know, for.
Oh, okay, so it's like a something that's going to go in like a newspaper or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
and this is when we meet this one character who, I don't know the name of the actor, but he's in a lot of stuff. He has a Japanese wife and he doesn't speak Japanese. So I want to do it, but I won't. He puts
don't
on a very, very stereotypical, offensive portrayal. Like it's Mickey Rooney at Breakfast at Tiffany's level offensive.
Mm.
Have you ever seen that movie?
Yes, I've seen Breakfast Club.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, you're like really taken aback by it. And you're mm-hmm. like, what's this all about?
And then she starts speaking, his wife starts speaking in Japanese, and he starts talking to her like this, but he doesn't talk to anyone else in this way. He only speaks to her that way. And then they're like, oh, are you trying, like we're trying to understand what you're saying. And he's like, oh, this is what she's saying, even though that's probably not what she said at all.
Right, yeah. He says something about, like, shouldn't we mention the food more or something mm-hmm. like that. But then everybody kind of treats him like it's normal. So again, this is the early 70s. People treat their wives badly. People are not very culturally sensitive around this time, even less so than now.
Yeah.
But so that's pretty much the end of that. And then he goes and has dinner with his mom or lunch or something. And she's like, oh, I'm busy and I can't chaperone you to your TV show that you're supposed to be on in New York. So you can't go.
Yeah. And he goes, well, I could get a chaperone. And then it cuts to Alana on the plane riding next to him as his chaperone.
Right. And then who is that? What was that guy's name?
I don't.
She gets kind of interested in this one actor guy who's another adult. I can't remember his name, though.
I don't know. I didn't write it down.
Anyway, well, he's on The Righteous Gemstones.
Mm-hmm.
That guy. But they flirt on the plane, and it makes Gary jealous.
Yeah.
And then Gary, he flirts with a flight attendant. So it kind of plays out the relationship that, like,
it's just jealousy back and forth.
Yeah. Kind of. Which is not a healthy thing. Like, nothing about their relationship is ever healthy at any point in the movie. Even if they were the same age, this wouldn't be appropriate. Why do you keep looking at our birds there?
I want to make sure that Hendrix is eating. Because every time he goes to the bowl, he doesn't actually eat anything.
Oh.
Because I think he's scared to eat.
Yeah, I remember reading that or seeing somewhere that a new bird in the house won't eat, might not eat for a while.
Yeah, but I think it's because he's scared to eat around Dia.
Dia, he might be.
I think he's scared Dia's going to attack him.
He'll be fine.
Okay. Anywho.
Yeah, and then I swear that woman that is on the trip, like the main star of that TV show. I swear she was on the Brady Bunch, but maybe
she had a fantastic accent. It was hilarious.
Oh, you thought so? What was her accent?
I can't remember exactly because it's been a week and a half since we watched this movie, but she had some type of accent, and I was like, that was a pretty funny accent for this actress lady. It was probably like this or something like, I don't know. It wasn't like that.
Yeah.
But stereotypical, like Hollywood, like New York.
Like maybe mid-Atlantic, that fake accent that they used to use in the 40s.
Maybe. I don't remember. I can't remember because it's been so long since we watched it.
Yeah. So they do a little dance number. And in the show, she has like 12 children or something like that. And they're running around singing and having a pillow fight. And then at the end of the piece, Gary decides to hit her, the main star, with
a pillow.
And she seems like it's okay, but then they get backstage and she literally tries to attack Gary.
Well, before that, like they like line them up and they're like saying something.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to tell a joke at the end. And the joke is for you. And so the one guy, quote unquote cute actor, he says like, oh, I've been on NBC or something like that. And then he goes, I'm on what was that? Something Beaver. And he goes, oh, you're on Leave It to Beaver? And he goes, no, just Beaver.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and everyone's just like, what?
Yeah. Because that'd be obviously.
He's talking about vagina.
Yeah, obviously beavers are euphemism for vagina.
Yeah, but it was not good.
No.
It was a good joke.
It was very much like a teenager making a bad joke who's like, it's vulgar, so it's funny.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he gets attacked by the woman backstage. And Alana talks with the other actor that was flirting with her. And she's like, Is she like that all the time? He's like, yeah, pretty much. So apparently she's just, you know, an asshole star with a huge ego.
And then after they get back on the plane, or they get back I don't really know what happens, but she starts hanging out with the other actor.
And, well, yeah, they're actually dating.
Yeah. And Gary sees it and he starts getting really jealous.
Yeah. He sees them at the drive-in when he's there with his mom and he gets jealous.
And I don't know what happens to like stop them from talking.
Oh, we'll go over in a minute, but I want to bring up remember the suit audition?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Did you notice that Maya Rudolph was in it?
Yes. Yeah. That was the first thing I noticed.
Yeah. She must have had a bigger role in this and it got cut. Because she literally like looks at the camera and shakes her head.
Yeah.
But I like that part because it's like the audition's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And then she turns around and looks at somebody and just shakes her head like all wide eyed. And you're like, oh, well, Gary's career as an actor is ending.
Yeah.
Because he's getting too old to be a cute kid, which happens to many child actors. And then that, I think that's when he sees them at the drive-thru.
Mm-hmm.
But she takes the other actor guy to have Shabbat dinner.
With her dad.
Yeah, with her dad and her sisters. And he's like, do you want to lead us in prayer? And he's like, no, I'm actually atheist.
And then her dad is super upset. And then he leaves. And then her character goes out to the car and she's like yelling at him. She's like, what does your penis look like? And he's like, what? She's like, what does your penis look like?
Just normal, I guess. That's what he said.
Oh.
And then she goes, is it circumcised?
Yeah. Because circumcised equals Jewish.
Yeah.
But there's so many people that are, I wonder in the 70s if it was common for people to be circumcised in the 70s.
I think so. Americans for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think North America, like Canada and the United States, for some reason they circumcise most male babies. And I don't know why. I'm not sure about Canada either. You can write in if you're Canadian and you have an uncut dick. But
sure.
Let us know about that. But anyway, it's a pretty funny moment. I like that she yells at him because she's thinking like this whole time. She's like, I'm about to be attached to an actor who's rising in the ranks.
Mm-hmm.
And then like that whole interaction with her father, like she watches it go down in flames. And you'll also notice Gary never meets her dad.
Oh, he doesn't. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So she's like, I'm not making that mistake again.
Yeah. Especially because he's not Jewish.
Right.
That's when, after that, that's when, then they started selling beds. And then after they started selling beds, I was like, I put down, a lot has happened in this movie and I'm not entirely sure what, because there was a lot of things happening and I was like, what is the point of this? And I get we're going through the relationship and just like them going in and out of each other's lives.
Right.
But it was just so.
Was it too unstructured for you?
Yeah. I think it was a little too unstructured for me.
Oh. I don't typically, I would criticize a movie for having this little structure to it and just sort of meandering along. I know I've made that criticism about many movies that we've watched, but because the relationship between these two characters is so different from what you'd normally see in a movie, and the back and forth and the abuse and all of it is just like, it's really engaging to me. So I liked it. I like that they didn't really think about the plot too much. It's just like, yeah, they're just going to go from one thing to another.
Yeah.
And then when the movie's over, whether they're together or not, like little events of their life are going to keep happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens to all of us in everyday life anyway.
Yeah.
Like if they took a year of our life and they put it up on screen, people would be like, it's just an incoherent mess.
Yeah.
Because we're not in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway. Thoughts?
Well, so I went to college for theater. And one of my professors, who was our dramaturgy professor, he told us that...
Do you want to name drop him?
I mean, I went to UH.
It was Albie, right?
No, it was. No, I didn't actually get to meet Albie.
Yeah, he was. He died before you.
Yeah.
Before you went to school there.
Oh, that would have been so freaking cool. Hey, no, but we know. We know someone that met Albie.
I think I know two people.
Really?
Yeah.
I probably know more than just one person too. But still, like, it's interesting that we are 1 degree away from Edward Albee.
I don't know. I don't really think about things like that.
2 degrees.
It's the college we went to, like, you never really hear about it when it comes to the performing arts, but there's a lot of, like, notable alumni.
Oh yeah.
And professors and stuff. From, like, the Quaids. Randy and Dennis Quaid went to U of H. Hmm. Who's the ballet dancer guy? Patrick Swayze?
Patrick Swayze.
Did he?
I think he did, but I'm not positive.
Yeah, he's from Houston. I know that, yeah. But I don't know if he went to school there.
I definitely know he was in the ballet, Houston Ballet.
Yeah, he definitely was. And
but what I was going to say, my professor, Robert Shimko.
Is that a made-up name?
No, that's his real name. Shimko.
You made that up on the spot. My professor, Robert Shimko.
No, he'd be fine with me telling this. I mean, there's not much that I know about him that I don't know. I don't know much about his life. I know he has a baby.
Oh, good for him.
Anyways, he told us in his class, in one of our classes, that plays are about big events, because if we just put our daily lives up on stage, it'd be boring, which I kind of feel this movie is a little bit boring because it is so much like our regular lives. And I think that might be why I'm not like super keen on it. Uh-huh. It's because it's just so mundane. And like, I know that they're doing some things in it, but I was just like, these people are just doing shit.
Yeah. That's, you dislike it for the same reason I like it.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the reasons I do is because movies aren't like this anymore. Movies, mm-hmm. Every Marvel movie, every Transformers movie, every Fast and Furious movie is about this big, extraordinary event that may end the universe or whatever. And I'm tired of fucking seeing that.
And also, I don't mind movies that aren't about like crazy huge events. Like, I don't watch Marvel and like these huge superhero movies because they're all about these big events. But I do think, like, I like watching movies that are about life and are about like important moments in life. Whereas this one, it seemed like it was just events of life, and it wasn't like a big moment.
Right.
It wasn't a big moment in someone's life, mm-hmm. is what I mean.
But do you think that was the director or creator's intention of it?
Oh, yeah. I definitely think it was supposed to be like a snapshot of life, which they did really well because it feels like real life. But I think that's also why it's kind of boring.
Yeah. Yeah. That might be why this movie didn't really make any money.
Yeah.
I don't even think it broke even. But anyway, where were we? Now that Gary doesn't really have a career as an actor, he finds out, he goes in to some store somewhere and they're like, do you want to try out this waterbed?
Mm-hmm.
And there's these two kooky characters in it. But anyway, he's like, this is the future. I'm going to get into the waterbed business.
Mm-hmm.
And, so he hasn't seen Alana in a while. Like, they're kind of on the outs at this point, and he goes to a trade show or something.
Yeah.
And he plans on selling waterbeds, and he runs into her there, and they're flirty with each other. They seem happy to see each other, but then for some weird reason he gets arrested.
Mm.
And you're like, why the hell is he getting arrested? And the cops just haul him in and they're like, you're a murderer.
Yeah,
it's so crazy. Has anything like that ever happened to you?
No.
You've never been hauled in for murder or anything?
No.
Something like this happened to me once. You want to hear the story?
Sure.
Okay. So I was in middle school.
What?
And I was in class. And I was just minding my own business. And I was a kind of a troublemaker.
I actually do have a story that I will tell you after this that okay. is similar, but not right. really, but kind of.
Just wait for me to get to okay. it. So I'm sitting in class, minding my own business, and I was kind of a troublemaker in middle, all throughout school. I was kind of a troublemaker, but the school police, you know, like yeah. every school has the HISD police here, and they're real police, the real mm-hmm. Houston police. They're just assigned to schools. And it's this little blonde short woman. I'm like eighth grade, and this woman is still shorter than me. And she like comes in. She's like, "Joey, come here." And she takes me out in the hallway, and she pushes me up against the locker. And she's like, "Did you steal the popsicles out of the dance room?" And I was like, "We have a dance room?" I was like, "I didn't know that." And she's like, "Yeah, it's also the home ec room." And there's a fridge with food and popsicles in it. I know you stole it. And another thing you need to know is I went to, I guess you could call it an urban school or whatever. Mm-hmm. We live in the city. And most of the kids at my school were Latino or Black or Asian. There wasn't that many white kids. And there wasn't that many blonde white kids with blue eyes like me. That's kind of an anomaly. So she's like, "All right, we're going to find out." And she escorts me down to the home ec room that I didn't even know existed. And I sit down in there. I'm like, "I've never been in this room. Never in my life." And a custodian comes in there and she goes, "Is this the kid that you saw steal the popsicles?" And he immediately goes, "No." And she's like, "Okay, go back to class." I was like, "What the fuck was that all about?" And then I found out later, there was some other kid who was, who had blonde hair and blue eyes, but he had longer hair. And he was the guy who said they saw stealing popsicles.
Oh, I do have a little story, actually.
Yeah, go for
but
it.
But it's, so when I was in ninth grade, I was dating this guy whose name was also Aaron. And I got called in the principal's office. And unlike you, I was a very well-behaved student. I didn't make the best grades, but I never got in trouble. I never, ever got called to the office. That was the first time I ever got called to the vice principal's office or the principal's office or anything like that. And they called me in and they sat me down and they were like, we heard about, these two people going down to the creek and killing cats.
Whoa.
Yeah. And they were like, "There was a boy and a girl, and we think it's you and your boyfriend." They said it was Aaron, the guy. I'm not going to say his last name. They said it was the boy, Aaron, and there was a girl with them. Was it you? And I was like, and I kept laughing because I was like, I was freaking out. I'd never been to the principal's office before. And like, I was like, "I have no idea what you're talking about." And I was like laughing, but like freak out laughing, like, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah, anxious laughing.
Yeah. Yeah. It freaked me out. And I was like, "No, like, I've never done that. I've never killed a cat before." It made me so scared. And it wasn't even my boyfriend at the time that was doing it. I think people were just making shit up.
Yeah, that sounds like a small town make them up. Like, they were taking cats and doing satanic.
It was rituals. They said satanic. They were doing rituals.
Yeah,
I was like, I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm Catholic.
I don't
because I was super Catholic then.
Oh yeah, you're yeah.
I was like, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. No, Jesus, Lord. I've not done anything. Lord, hear our prayers. It freaked me out. And so, yeah, I have had that actually happen to me.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody's had something like that. But that it made me think about it, that little story I told, when he gets to the police station and they haul that one guy out there and they're like, "Is that him?" And he goes, "No." Because that was the same thing. That guy walked in, that custodian, and he's like, "Nope, that's not the guy."
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a funny story. So then he gets released from prison after he is not ID'd, but Alana runs after him and is like, "I'm going to get you out. I'm going to get you out." And so that's kind of like, well, actually, she does have like real feelings for him because she wouldn't run after him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of weird. And then they run back to the trade show together. There's a lot of weird running in this movie.
Yeah, lots of running.
Yeah.
That was like a through line of them running to each other.
Yeah, running to each other and running with each other.
Yeah.
So then they start selling waterbeds, and they have an ad on the radio. They read a live ad, and then people are buying waterbeds from them. I think it's like a montage of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get a really great scene where she's selling waterbeds on the phone, and Gary is like micromanaging her, and he's like, sell it sexier. So she starts selling it so sexy that he starts to get jealous.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like telling the guy, like, how about
I'll install it for you. What time can I come over? And like, it was, and then she says, she has a great line, he says, don't sell it. Like, I don't remember what he says. I don't remember what she says, but she goes, if you tell me to sell it sexy, I'll sell it so good. It's like, I don't remember what she says. It was a good line.
Yeah, it was. That part I really enjoyed, and her performance was quite good. She's just torturing Gary. It's pretty great. So then they go to, we go back and we meet the douchey restaurant owner, and they get there, and he's like, Gary says, like, oh, hi, Miyoko. And he's like, oh.
That's not Miyoko. This is my new wife.
Yeah. So this is all just all kinds of levels of racism that he's like, he doesn't recognize that it's a different woman.
Yeah.
And also this guy just traded in one Japanese wife for another.
Yeah.
In less than a year. Just like,
yeah,
you're gone. Yeah. Out with the old, in with the new.
And then that's when we find out that he actually doesn't speak Japanese and he can't understand anything that they're saying.
Yeah.
Because she says something to him. And he says something really racist, like in that racist accent back to her. And then Gary goes, what did she say? And he goes, oh, I don't understand Japanese.
Yeah. And I don't think it's the director's intention for you to be like, this guy's funny.
Like, oh, no. It's definitely to be like, this is a shitty fucking guy.
Yeah. It's just they're trying to like be of the time and show what a douchebag like that would be like back then.
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody who would, I mean, it happens now. You hear about maybe like a white guy who's married to a black woman or an Asian woman or a Hispanic woman. And they just say, like, they totally put their foot in their mouth in front of their own spouse just because they still don't understand like what the struggle of like being a minority in America is.
Mm-hmm.
But in this movie, it's just like this guy is completely ignorant to anything. Like he just wanted a Japanese wife so that he could make a Japanese restaurant. And
yeah.
That was it. He doesn't care about learning the language
or the culture or anything like that.
Yeah, at all. He just wants to have a fancy restaurant that seems authentic, I guess.
And then they go to Barbara Streisand's house to sell them a waterbed.
Right. I didn't tell you who this guy was, but Bradley Cooper. I love how Bradley Cooper plays this guy too.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is, he's depicting a real life film producer by the name of John Peters.
Okay.
Which I'm sure you've heard of.
No.
But anyway, he's a very intense person in the movie. And he threatens Gary, like he threatens his brothers or something like that. Or I guess that was his friends, maybe.
One of them is his brother.
Yeah. And also a real life thing is like he says, because I'm from the streets. John Peters actually used to say that. There's you can find it. It's all over the place. But Kevin Smith, you know who he is?
Mm-mm.
He did like Chasing Amy and Dogma and Clerks 1, 2, and 3, Mallrats.
No.
Anyway, he's an independent filmmaker who's pretty famous. But he'll go on podcasts and he'll do like stand-up shows where he talks about meeting John Peters to do a Superman movie. Because this guy owned the rights to Superman. And he's like, you and I, we're going to get Superman right. You know why? Because we're from the streets. It's a really funny story. I'll tell anybody to look it up, listen to it.
But Greg starts, Greg's like, oh, I'm going to leave. You're going to set up the bed and then I'll be back. And then you told me that Greg is going to be killed.
Yeah, he said he tells Alana that Gary tells Alana that he threatened to kill Greg or something like that.
Oh, I was confused about this part.
Yeah, I was like, I kind of checked out a little bit when because that dialogue scene between John Peters and Gary goes on for a while. I think I checked out a couple of times. But anyway, the gas crisis is going on, like the big oil embargo of the 70s. So they can't get waterbeds anymore because they need crude oil to make the waterbed. So their business is pretty much bottoms up. And this is probably like one of the last ones they're going to deliver. But they leave the hose running in the house. And John Peters leaves because he says, oh, I've got a date with Barbra Streisand. But he can't go because he doesn't have any gas in his car. So he has to come back. And they're really scared. Do you remember this?
Well, I thought he was saying like he was already dating Barbra Streisand and he had to date with someone else.
Well, I think he was Barbra Streisand's hairdresser.
Oh.
And that then he became a producer because he knew her. I don't know. I don't remember. But anyway, he was trying to leave. But they show him. Like, he runs out of gas, and he comes back and yells at his assistant.
I thought the assistant was Barbra Streisand's assistant, because later on, the assistant calls, and he's like, hey, Barb.
Oh, right. Yeah, I think he was Barbra Streisand's assistant, and that was her house and everything, too. But anyway, he gets back in the truck with them, and he's like, you're going to take me to get gas. And he's flirting with Alana and all that, and they're scared because they think he's going to find out, and then, like, actually kill them. Because he's a fucking lunatic.
And he's from the streets.
He's from the streets. John Peters from the streets. But then their truck runs out of gas. And they try to ditch him. And they do. And then they have to go get gas from somewhere. And then Alana's like sitting on the curb like thinking like, what have I gotten myself into? I need to quit hanging out with this 15-year-old douchebag.
Yeah.
And do something significant with my life.
So, which she shouldn't be around him anyway. So, yep, you definitely should find something better to do. Which she goes to work with this politician who's running for mayor.
Yeah, he's running for mayor of, I guess, San Fernando Valley. Is that a place?
I don't know. They keep saying they're in Encino.
Oh, okay. Encino, like Encino Man.
Yeah, we's in the juice.
We's in the juice.
We's in the juice. That's also racist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know that actor? That was his real accent, though. Yeah. He's like an Indian dude, but he that's his actual accent.
Oh, we so.
He's also.
But that's gross for y'all.
He's also the one of the guys who works in the store in 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. He's like, sex is not about the rusty trombone. And like he's telling that to Carell. Steve Carell, yeah. So she starts working with a mayor, this guy running for mayor, and he seems like a pretty nice guy. And one night he's like, hey, come meet me for dinner. I forgot my wallet. Come, you know, get my wallet and come meet me. And she thinks like, ooh, I'm going to attach myself to this dude. Right. And then I can finally ditch Gary. And she goes there and finds out that he's having dinner with his partner and they can't be open because that would destroy his chances of being mayor. And his partner is just really upset about it. So Alana takes him home. And do you remember what he says to her when they get there? He's like, if you have a good relationship, like hang on to it or something like that. If you have somebody who pays attention to you or something. He does say something like to that along those lines. Is this before or after the thing with Sean Penn?
Who's Sean Penn?
He's the actor that she's sort of has a romantic rendezvous with at that restaurant.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah, that's, this is after.
It is.
Even the Gary thing or Greg thing is after.
It is?
Yeah. I think she goes on the interview and then she's like mad about it. There's like a lot of stuff we're missing. Like there's this point where she's like in a bathing suit and then he goes into the bathroom with this girl that's actually his age and he starts kissing her. And then she goes outside and she goes and kisses this guy and she's all pissed.
Oh, right. Well, that's when they opened up the, no, that's when the waterbed place was.
Yeah.
Really, yeah.
There's tons of stuff we're missing. Cause there's so much this garbage.
Movie, there's, this movie is long and unstructured. So, who cares? Anyway, well, so then Alana thinks like, oh, maybe I should stick with Gary if this guy is telling me it's, you know, it's good that you mm-hmm. have someone who cares about you.
But then, I think he's talking about that other guy that she works with, who she went to high school with.
Oh, okay. But anyway, I think that's why she kind of thinks maybe I should go back to Gary. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if that's at the end or not after the pinball thing. But then also she goes to, oh my God, that agent that they go see, that old lady, the way she was like mugging to the camera and making mm-hmm. all like, that's the best performance in the movie to me.
Oh yeah. She did a great job.
She was a fucking lunatic.
Yeah.
And she's like, do you speak any languages? Like, yeah, I speak Hebrew. She's like, besides Hebrew. She's like, Portuguese, Italian. She's like, just making up all this shit. And she says some pretty anti-Semitic things. They were like, talks about her Jewish nose.
Mm-hmm. She's like, that's very in right now.
Yeah. I guess that's another thing about Barbara Streisand is she's Jewish and mm-hmm. people told her that she'd have to get a nose job to be famous.
Yeah.
But no, she didn't have to. She's Barbara Streisand. She's too damn good. Yeah, that whole scene is crazy, and I love every minute of it. In her weird faces. But then she works on a movie with Sean Penn, who's not depicting himself, somebody else. Some, like, B-movie actor.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really weird. And I love that she keeps saying, like, is this real? Or like when they're at dinner, because she doesn't know if he's like in character or not.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
The whole thing was just weird. And then he's like, I'm going to ride a motorcycle over a flaming pot, like flaming hole. It's like this other guy came up. I don't know.
That's Tom Waits. He's a musician.
Okay.
He does movies every once in a while. But he's also, when he talks, he doesn't make any sense whatsoever either. Violent yawn.
I'm sorry. This movie just keeps going.
Yeah. I love every scene in this movie.
The next thing that I wanted to, that I wrote down was when they, the water bed business is out. And he finds out, like, pinball machines are in. And so he's like, I'm going to start buying pinball machines. And she's like, you're an idiot. Stop doing that. You need to do something better with your life. And she just goes full force into the politician thing. And he goes into pinballs. And he leaves. And, like, they're like, we're done with each other. And then – so he opens up this pinball place. And he, like, invites her and some other people. And I love the opening night. Like, there's this guy who's like trying to like play pinball, and it's like it looks like he's humping it.
Yeah, that's an old trick that people would try mm-hmm. to do to win pinball, is like tilt the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it looked like he was humping it.
Yeah, it totally looked like he was humping it.
Which I thought was funny. I was like, dude, stop humping my pinball machine.
Yeah. And there's nothing he can do about it because that guy's an adult. So he goes and starts picking on some little kids and like throws the little kids out. But the thing was, and this was another actual event in California up until this point, pinball machines were illegal.
Why?
Because in like the 1930s during the Great Depression, they made them illegal because they said like people were using them to gamble.
Hmm.
I think that's what it was. But anyway, so, you know, it's once you make a law, it's hard to get it off the books.
Yeah.
So anyway, they finally did it in 1973 or whatever. So he's like, oh, I'm going to open up a pinball place and I'll be the first one, which is honestly a pretty smart business move.
But I'd Alana, say so.
Alana doesn't like it because she wants to do something more meaningful. But then I guess the political thing doesn't work out.
Well, the whole time it seems just like she's trying to find a boyfriend.
Yeah, because remember how I said in the beginning, like...
It's just like she's constantly needs to figure out who she's going to be tied to.
Yeah.
Because that's her worth.
Yeah, because as a woman in this time, mm-hmm. like, who you're with is, you know, who you are. But she goes through all these failures, and, like, she always sort of keeps Gary on the back burner.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because he's a child.
Yeah.
But all these other relationships are just as bad, if not worse, or it turns out, like, the guy she's after is gay or something. So finally she leans into it. And I think it's right after the pinball thing, right?
Where she goes to the restaurant?
No, well, we already talked about that, where she meets with the Sean Penn character.
No. She goes to the restaurant with the mayor and we find out that he's gay.
Right, yeah. We already talked about that.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, we just talked about it. Remember I said she takes his partner home and he says, look, if you've got a good relationship, hang on to it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I mean, this is pretty much the end of the movie.
Because
after that, she's like, fine, you know, I'll just be with Gary.
Yeah. So, and then she goes and searches for him and they start running towards each other again.
Yeah. Yeah. They're running around trying to find each other, going to various places where they hang out. And then they go back to the pinball place together and he stands up and he's like, this is my wife or whatever. And she's like, mm-hmm. shut up and get down. And then they kiss for the first time.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the end of the movie.
And then they start running again. And she's like, I love him.
Yeah. So at this point in the movie, it's kind of, it's obvious, like, nobody really seems to care.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even though Gary's a kid, he's just sort of doing whatever he wants. He's being raised by a single mom. They're together at the beginning of the movie, but mm-hmm. halfway through, like, where is she?
Yeah.
Like, there's really just not anybody around who seems to care enough to say, like, hey, maybe you guys shouldn't be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's just a different time. Like, I also made me think about, like, Dean Corll, who was abducting kids from the Heights in the early 70s.
Yeah. There were probably a lot of parents that were just like, they were kids hanging out with adults. I mean,
yeah.
That happened in my small town too. Like,
yeah.
Kids hang out with adults.
Yeah.
There were several times I would go to parties and there would be adults there and I'd be like, what the fuck are y'all doing here?
Yeah. I had a friend who, we were adults and he started hanging out with the kids at our old high school again.
Ugh.
And I was like, dude, you can't be doing that. And I'm like, don't you fucking bring them around my house ever.
Yeah.
Like, I told them over and over, like, you're gonna get in trouble for doing this, or you're gonna do the wrong thing. I don't know what. I guess because, like, they thought he was cool, even though he was a loser.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that's why he did it. But, yeah.
Yeah, I remember being in high school thinking about those guys that would hang out at the high school parties, and I'd just be like, God, y'all are losers.
Even though you were in high school.
Well, yeah. Cause like, I mean, I was like, why are you hanging out with a bunch of high schoolers?
Right. Yeah.
Like, go hang out with other adults. Like there was like one or two of them that were like a year older and I'd be like, okay. But there were some that were like 3-4 years older. And I'm like, why are y'all here? Why?
Yeah. There's just something about like, I don't know, because like, you turn 18 in high school.
Yeah. But
there's something about getting out of high school and starting your adult life that just really changes you quite a bit.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it, but
mm-hmm. I remember
you have to become an adult like pretty much overnight, it seems like.
Yeah. I remember after I turned 18 and like after I graduated, I was like, I ain't going to hang out with any high schoolers. Fuck them. Yeah. I was like, I'm done with high school kids. I was like, I don't want to talk to anyone from high school. Like, I went to a party after my graduation and I felt uncomfortable the whole time.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gone to any party. I had some, like, when I was a senior, I had friends who were juniors,
mm-hmm.
and I would hang out with them. Like, when I was 18 and graduated, and they were like 18 and about to graduate,
mm-hmm.
like, I would go hang out at their house, but I wasn't just like hanging out with and meeting like new high school kids and stuff.
Yeah.
Man, anyway, my parents kicked me out. I joined the army like two days after I graduated. I was, I peaced out big time. So, Aaron, I want to get your no bullshit assessment. I think I know which way you're going to go on this, but would you like to elaborate?
My no bullshit assessment is if you want to watch a movie that makes you feel uncomfortable, this is the one for you.
I do.
It's not shot badly, but I don't like the plot and the characters are no one is likable. And I get like, we're not supposed to like them, but like there was no one to root for. And I was like, what is the point of watching this if I don't like anyone? And it's just I just want to hate everyone. And I didn't like that. Like, I want to like people. In movies.
You want to like people.
I want to like at least someone. And I didn't like anyone. Not one character did I like. Actually, the Gary's little brother, he seemed okay.
Yeah, well, that actor that she took to dinner, he seemed pretty cool.
He was also a child.
He was?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
No, I thought he was like an adult too.
I don't think so.
No.
Because he was on that kid show.
Well, there's always... there's always adult actors playing teenagers.
Yeah.
Like, look at Saved by the Bell. They were like 30 when that
show. Yeah. Yeah, but like, I think they were supposed to be like the same age.
I don't know. I don't think so. I thought he was an adult too, but I could be wrong. I don't know.
Yeah. I didn't like it.
Well, you didn't like it. I thought you'd like that movie. That's what one of the reasons I wanted to watch it, because it's just different, but it's well written, well acted, and well directed.
I think it hit too close to home, and I don't like movies that hit too close to my home.
What do you mean it hit too close to home?
Like, I know people that do things like that. Like, there were people that I went to high school with that were dating people that were way older than them, or there were people that I would like. That I knew that were dating like high schoolers.
Yeah, I did too.
And I don't like that. And it
I don't like it either.
Well, yeah. And so I'm just like, every time I think of like people like that or like people that remind me, like, what is that TV show that we tried to watch?
I don't know.
And it like, they're just all shitty people and I hated it.
No, they weren't all shitty. But the main character, the dad, Shameless.
I did not like Shameless.
Yeah.
Because Shameless, it was too close to home and I didn't like it.
Shameless, I didn't want to watch as a TV show. I would have 100% been, if there had been like a 2-hour Shameless movie and that was it. But that's not something I want to tune into every week. These, like, Licorice Pizza is not a movie that I'm going to watch over and over and over
again. Yeah.
But I like to take the road less traveled a lot. When I watch movies, I've talked about how much I like bad movies. It's because whether it's bad or not, it takes a different path.
Yeah.
And it's a nice break from all the same Hollywood bullshit trash that they keep pumping out.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm not saying you're wrong.
Oh, you can say I'm wrong. I don't care.
No, but I'm not saying you're wrong. Like, I think of like, this movie kind of reminds me a little bit of Juno because there are shitty people in it, but there's also still people that I do like and I'm rooting for, and I couldn't root for anyone. And so I was just like, I didn't connect with anyone. So I didn't feel connected to the movie. I think that's why. Like, there was no one I could connect to.
Yeah. Well, in Juno, you want the main character. You want Elliot Page to like grow up and take responsibility. for the way she treats other people. And like, and at the end it happens. Mm-hmm. Right. So you might not like her through the whole movie, but at least at the end you go, well, you know what? She turned out to be a pretty good person.
Redemption.
Yeah. And I feel better about her relationship with Michael Cera moving forward. In this movie, you're like, these people suck and I'm okay if either of them die.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, I don't like any of them and I don't care if they die. And so it's like, eh, I don't want to watch the movie.
Right. You're not invested in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess I'm different. I mean, all the movies that people talk about, like, being disturbing, I see all the time on the internet, people say, like, Requiem for a Dream is such a disturbing movie. It's a movie about a group of friends who start doing heroin.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what happens when you do heroin? Things usually go pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
So their life turns to shit. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I expected was going to happen at the end of the movie. I'm not on board with these people to get cleaned up and get their lives together.
Yeah.
And I like stuff like that. I don't know what that says about me. Maybe I enjoy knowing that at least some people's lives are way worse than mine.
Well, like with Moonlight, like he still becomes a drug dealer.
Yeah, but that's not, and the movie isn't about him not being a drug dealer. It's about him coming to terms with his sexuality.
Yeah, I know. But I think like, people watching that movie, they're going to say like, oh, well, I don't want him to be a drug dealer. I don't want him to become like the father figure he had, which, I mean, he ends up kind of doing.
Right.
And so like, he still is not a great person by being like a drug dealer.
That movie goes out of their way to be like, even though he's a drug dealer, he's still
very sweet guy. Yeah.
But the movie is not about him being a drug dealer. It's about him coming to terms with who he actually is.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah, that's it. And at the end of it, you're rooting for him the whole time.
Yeah.
And at the end, you're like, yeah, he finally told somebody.
Yeah.
You know, this Licorice Pizza is not that.
Mm-hmm.
It's trashy people doing trashy things. And honestly, I've been around for 39 years, and you've talked about the people from your hometown on this show a lot. And we talk about trashy people. I've met tons of trashy people throughout my life.
Yeah.
People who don't take responsibility for the shitty things they do.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a movie about those people. People rarely change.
Yeah.
Movies aren't real.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you want to watch people change, but guess what? They normally don't.
And I'm fine with people not changing. But what I'm saying is,
you just don't like it. It's fine that you don't like it. I know we're just, I'm just explaining my my affinity for movies like this.
Yeah.
And it's partly because they're just different. Mm-hmm. They do something outside the normal box, but also I like to see depictions of real life people who, even if they are likable and they maybe just have a bad life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like seeing things like that.
Oh my gosh, Hendrix. You were so loud.
Yeah, our birds want to ruin our podcast. We might have to start recording this somewhere else.
Yeah, in the closet.
Okay, so that's going to do it for the movie.
Yeah.
And we're going to play a little F, Mary, Kill.
Oh, okay.
Are you ready for this?
Sure.
Aaron, this is former child star edition. Fuck, Mary, Kill. You're an adult woman.
Yes. And
correct?
Yes. And I'm going to do the adult version of them.
Okay. You can do whatever you want. Okay.
So, or do I want to think about when I was a child also?
You can do whatever you want. I'm just going to lay the names out there for you. And you're going to tell me. Okay.
Am I going to have a list of all three, or am I going to have to get one at a time and I put them where they go?
Huh?
JTT. Oh.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
All right, so we got one, Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Next, we got the kid from The Sixth Sense.
Okay, okay. These are all generally my age, so okay, this is all welcome. All
right, we're going to do one a little bit earlier than that. Corey Feldman.
Okay.
He was from Stand By Me,
and
Goonies.
And he was in Goonies.
Yeah. So.
Oh, no.
What?
I like them all, but I want to kill them. Okay.
So.
God.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas. You going to fuck, marry, kill?
God, this is so hard. He was a big crush of mine.
This is what he looks like as an adult now.
Yeah, I know.
Not
he's,
bad looking.
He's
anymore.
Like a couple. He's like, he's about your age, right?
I don't know.
Maybe he's like a couple years younger than you.
It says
81. He's older than you.
Yeah, he's a little bit older than me. I'm 39. He's 41.
I'd still go. I'm just kidding.
What?
I remember whenever I was. God, let me look at Haley Osment.
He was a cute kid, kind of a very average looking man, though.
He is very average looking, but he seems very sweet.
He's a nice guy. He was on the Doughboys podcast once.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was delightful.
Okay, but I know more about JTT and Haley Osment. I know that Corey Feldman was in the Goonies, and he was
also in Friday the 13th 4.
Yes, I remember that. But I don't know anything about his like personal life.
Corey Feldman actually had a very sad career as a child because he was
molested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then one of his friends, who was also named Corey, was also molested, and
did he commit suicide?
Or I think he died of a drug overdose.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, pretty rough journey for Corey Feldman.
Yeah. And he was also cute as a little kid.
He was cute, and he's
adorable.
I've gone back and watched some of his movies in the last few years, and he was a phenomenal child actor.
He was fantastic.
Yes.
Go back to click on Corey. He's very goth looking now.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
Yeah, he's weird.
God, I don't like this. I don't know who to kill. I like them all. I don't want to kill any of them.
Okay. Well,
I guess I'm going to. Okay.
Haley Osment, he can be with all his ghost friends if he's dead, because he sees dead people.
I see dead people.
Hey, I remember you from when we were alive.
Well, I was going to say. Okay, I'm going to marry Corey.
Why are you marrying Corey?
Because he was a fantastic actor. I don't know if he's ever. I haven't seen him in anything recently, but he has done some stuff that's not too old. Like 2020.
I think that was his documentary about his molestation, which I should totally watch.
So the 80s and 90s is the last time
he was on The Surreal Life as an adult, and that's all I know.
He's a lot older than me, though. But I would hate to kill him.
Aaron, we really got to end the show at some point.
Okay, I'm going to marry Corey because he seems like a really great guy, and he's a fantastic actor, and he seems cool.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm gonna JTT. He was my crush from The Lion King and Home Improvement. That boy was in every single thing.
Yeah, he worked a lot.
I was obsessed with him. I loved him. Me and my older brother. So JTT definitely, and I'm gonna have to kill Haley Osment.
Sorry, buddy.
Sorry. You're going to have to go hang out with your dead friends.
He's a fantastic actor, too.
He is. And he seems like a really sweet guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would also marry him if I could.
You're runner up. Okay, that's going to do it for the show. If you want to write in and tell us how gross we are for doing this weird movie, go ahead at joeyandaaronpod@gmail.com.
Have we gotten anything?
No, we haven't got anything. Nobody wants to write in. We should do really fucked up movies so we get some hate mail.
Did you look? Did you look?
Today? Yeah, I looked. Oh, okay. I looked. What else do we do?
Oh,
what's
shoot.
The next movie we're going to be doing?
Our next movie is
Oh, it's Pride Month next
Pride month. Yeah. So for Pride Month, we're going to start with The Laramie Project. This one is a tough one.
Yeah. We're going to do a couple of Pride movies that are we're going to do one kind of rough movie, I guess you could call it.
A tragedy.
It's about a tragedy, but it's an LGBT story. And then we're going to be doing a more upbeat LGBT thing. I'll just say what it is. It's Can't Stop the Music. It's the movie from the 80s with the Village People and Steve Guttenberg.
Also, for the Laramie Project, it is a play, but there's a movie version. And Joey hasn't seen it, and I have seen it. So it's going to be a flipped episode for our next episode.
Yeah.
And, so, yeah.
Also, it's the summertime, and Erin is going to be...
Summertime.
She's not going to be in school. So we're going to release more bonus episodes. So be on the lookout for maybe an episode every week.
Ooh.
Yeah, but we've got some other stuff that we're going to do. And you want to plug your brother's podcast or do you want to wait?
Sure. So my brother actually is starting a podcast called We're Coming Out. It's a podcast where he's going to interview LGBTQ IA plus individuals about their coming out stories. Some of them might be out of the closet and using their actual names, and some of them might be in the closet and using aliases. We tried to film the first episode and some issues popped up. So we're going to film another episode.
You're going to film it?
Or we're going to record.
Like 35 millimeter?
No. We're going to record an episode soon so that we can get some out. So you guys can hear that. It's called We're Coming Out.
Yeah. And when it actually drops, we'll plug it some more and let you know what's going on with it. But
yeah. So just be on the lookout for it.
I listened to them record the first episode and there's some good content, but they had some technical issues.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, but at least it happened with the first episode. Mm-hmm. So. It's much harder to make a podcast than it sounds like.
Yeah.
So that's going to do it for us at
You Haven't Seen It.
Bye, everybody.